I really do feel like we need sort of bronzed men with big fans, Katie, for you, since you're so hot.
I
I'll fan you from here.
agree. Welcome, everybody. I see Stephen is off the mark, telling us where he's dialing in from tonight. Te Puna and Christchurch. Let us know in the chat where you're coming from
Oh,
or
Palmy! Woohoo!
looking forward to
Hey, Mike. Oh,
hearing.
yay, Mike's from here. Hi, Mike.
Lindley, Bruce. Oh, and then it all just starts going. Whew. Bob, Elaine, Huia, Bruce in Auckland, Jenny, Kari Kari, Cook's Beach. Anybody from overseas other than our lovely Katie here tonight? Oh, it's
Oh,
zooming
it's so
through.
fast. Gosh, everyone's just pouring in. So we've got a lot to talk about today, and there is a lot of content that we've already had since RCR 2.0. Thank you, everyone that came to the last webinar with Alia and I. I think from feedback that I've been getting, we answered a whole heap of questions. And the best part is, this is part of the reason why Alia and Claire have reached out to do this today, is there's been a whole heap of improvements since we caught up with you with that one. So we want to bring those to you. We also want to talk about some of the campaigns that we've been working on as well. And when I say we, I really am talking about the royal we, because I know I do very little other than be a talking head. But Katie and Alia and everybody behind the scenes have been doing a massive amount of work on so many things. Some of those, obviously, the gene tech bill, puberty blocker consultation, we'll touch on that briefly. Treaty principles bill, if you've been watching any of those oral submissions, they're certainly some of them are very popcorn worthy. COVID inquiry, phase two, Katie's going to talk to that. CBDCs, and of course, fluoride. Just did that 360 episode with Alistair this week on that. What else are we going to do? We're going to talk about manage retreat. We've got a 360 coming up on that as well as gender, so much more. So if you want to have a look at any of those, the action tab on the website or the app is the place to go. And you'll see those tabs at the top, scroll across. I think action is the last one, is it, if I'm not mistaken, Alia?
Yes, it's next to shop. Yep.
Next to shop, yep. So do a bit of shopping first, then pop over to Action. So we'll be doing all of that. Now, I'll kick things off. So the consultations for the safety measures on the use of puberty blockers, that closed Monday 20th of January. Thank you so much for everyone that submitted on that. I definitely submitted on that. We're going to be doing a 360 on that week after next, around some of the gender care, and we're just pulling together a lot of the information on that now. I was just saying to the girls before we got started, I just did a quick Google search to see what any progress or anything had been released around that, and it was amazing actually to see the bias in the Google search. That was quite eye-opening for me, but that is certainly something. And also too, just in a related topic on this, I'm going to be talking to Rodney and Penny Marie around his submission on RSE education, which is all sort of tied into this. That's kind of the feeder to a lot of this stuff. I'm going to be talking to them tomorrow morning, so watch out for that interview coming this week. So that is still continuing, so thank you for everyone who submitted on that. And then the treaty principles bill, well, I have to admit that's been, I've been rather entertained by some of the submissions. Peter Williams did an outstanding submission. If you haven't seen that, an oral submission, do check that out. We will get that link in the comments. And today I saw Judge David Harvey's submission to the committee as well. It was outstanding. That is certainly another very, very good one to look at. And Gary Judd KC too. I mean, Willie Jackson had the gall to say to David Harvey that it was unanimous that all KCs are in agreement with this bill. And then, of course, you've got cases giving oral submissions against it. So, you know, Willie being Willie, I guess. So that's all been going on. And earlier, the gene tech bill, that's been, gosh, there was a lot of work that went on that to get those submissions in. So, how are things moving and shaking there?
Well, I think Katie has an update on that, do you, Katie? We obviously there was a good big push, and it wasn't just from us, it was all across the spectrum of different industries and groups that were pushing for people to have their say on this. So that's really good for it to be, you know, full noise from coming from every direction. I think that's really helpful for us and for anyone that cares about this topic. So we have to keep the pressure on in this space. So the feedback deadline has passed, but there is going to be, you know, there's the next stages, and Katie will go through that in a minute. But it doesn't mean that we stop here just because that deadline is over. We've got to keep on pushing, keep on speaking to MPs and local authorities and things about the issue. Excuse me. Yep. So, Katie, do you want to? Have we got? Is that we're going to go straight into that next? Yeah, you can pop
Absolutely
over for that.
can.
Yep.
And look, I encourage everybody to send their submission or their feedback that they gave to the committee, health committee, to their local MPs. Let them know how incredibly concerned you are about that. And the reason why I say that, it was a 68-55 split in the vote that saw this gene technology legislation pass its first reading. So, we are within cooey with numbers. I think that's really important to remember. But when it goes to the Health Committee, that's kind of going into a bit of a box where your local MP or representative might not be aware of it. So just take it, send it on through, and let them know in your RE line that you oppose the gene technology bill and you set these out, your reasons out in the submission which you attach. There is a huge power in the number of people that message their local MP, but also check and message as many MPs as you can. And I will drop in the chat everybody's every MP's email address when I've finished having a chat at this point. So the interesting thing about the Gene Technology Bill is ordinarily when you've got a bill that's progressing through the various stages, to when it may be passed. On the website, there's usually this really helpful balloon guide which tells you the dates on which they expect to do things. Interestingly, there isn't one for the Gene Technology Bill, which I've gone through the website quite a few times. I'm very happy to be proven wrong, but look, I just couldn't find anything that gave us any real concrete dates. And I suspect that's for a couple of reasons. I suspect that there is still a lot of negotiation or discussion happening at the industry level and also getting feedback from experts. And the reason why they're doing that is because they've actually not done it beforehand. And MBIE's report, which talks about this piece of legislation or possible legislation, actually says that they've had no time to go to industry. They've no had no time to do cost benefit analysis. They've had no time to do any risk assessment, and yet they're proposing to undermine and change the genetic blueprint of everything we are and do in the Garden of Eden that is New Zealand. So really quite incredible that they're doing this at breakneck speed. And if I was to be a guessing person, and possibly not very well, everything's got two sides, but the timing of the bill that they have at the moment will get it in and see it passed and a regulator put in place at least 3 months before the Royal Commission Phase Two report is due. And of course, what's that report mostly about? Gene technology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marie just gives me a swat. So
Oh,
time.
nice. I was swatting a fly. I'm back in my Breaking Bad episode here. Sorry, Katie.
That's all right, you could swat me. I thought it was appropriately timed swat. Now, 17th of December was when it passed the first reading, as I mentioned, quite narrow margin. Over the next 6 months, from then, New Zealanders have the opportunity to have their say, and we gave a public submission or feedback on the 17th of February, and those things are now closed and with the Select Committee. That Health Committee is going to have the chance to have public submission, and if you've requested the opportunity to give your feedback in person or via a Zoom link, then you'll get that opportunity. It's usually 5 minutes for an individual and 10 minutes for an organisation. And that process will likely conclude about June 2025, at which stage the Select Committee will provide their report. And then at this stage, because there is still a lot of things bubbling along and uncertain, the bill has been earmarked to be finalised and a regulator in place towards the end of this year. So it's still got a few steps to happen. We must still maintain that pressure, and I do encourage everyone to send their feedback to their local MP. And Judith and the PM, if you wish to expand that email list that you were sending that to. Now, the yeah, so that's do you girls have any questions about the gene technology?
I'm also wondering too whether or not it's useful to actually discuss this or bring this up with other industries in your area as well. Because I think that there is, while some industries are acutely aware of the bill and what is going on, I think there are others that could be really affected by this, who have still live in the high trust model and may not necessarily be aware that the fact that they are literally making this up as they go along and pulling it together at breakneck speed, and actually potentially some of the impacts that it could have. So, like, I'm in an agricultural area. I do know through somebody that I've spoken to locally here that a number of the growers are acutely aware of what's going on. There are some industries that are quite positive, but then there are others that are acutely concerned. So, yeah, just if you are involved with industry or anything like that, just, have that conversation just to see whether or not people within those groups are actually aware in those industries. Because, for example, I've got a friend coming over for dinner tomorrow night, and he works in space where he actually sells food product from New Zealand up into the Middle East and to Japan. And one of the things I'll be talking to him about would be how will this affect his business dealing and trading with Japan. And I don't think he's actually aware of all of these shenanigans because he's not based here. So
Wow.
those are the sorts of conversations. I think there, because of the breakneck speed, when the bill was timed and dropped, which was just before Christmas, everybody is not paying attention. And I think that's all been really deliberate. And they've tucked it right in behind the Treaty Principles Bill, which of course is keeping the media occupied. So yeah, I think those sorts of conversations, if you know people in industry, import, export, growing, agriculture, anything like that, just make sure that they're up to speed with what's going on. Share them the RCR360 show, or as we said, action tab, drop down to Gene Tech Bill, everything's there. And it's the genetechgamble.co.nz. Where is their website? I can always remember it.
It's on the homepage if you go to
Homepage, right at the front.
campaign.
There we go.
Yeah. And I think even, you could just email your local supermarkets and let them know because it's going to affect them too, right? If we're not wanting to buy certain types of foods because we're not sure about the labelling, that's going to affect their business.
Definitely.
And labelling was one of the things. That was the thing that stunned me, was that labelling was not part of it. Like, there was no requirement for labelling. That astounded me. Absolutely astounded me.
No, we don't
Claire
have.
Blackley has said in the comments that to remind us that the new minister has changed from Judith Collins to Shane Retty. So she did what she needed to do and got.
And I'm sure that's not accidental either. But yes, still message Judith.
Yes.
And yes, no, it certainly has changed to Shane Reddy, but I'm sure that's not an accident by any means.
Ali's asking, do we know how many submissions there've been, Katie? Or is there any way to know how many there've been? No.
None uploaded yet when I was looking around today, but I'll just double check while we're chatting because it never hurts to be up to date.
Katie, have you gone through the process, the ordinary process for a bill that this that would normally be on that little graphic that you were talking about that here doesn't exist?
Yeah, look, okay, so the process that would ordinarily step through for a bill to pass is a number of different stages. And so we're at the infancy stage, I guess, where you've got the introduction of the bill, the first reading, and it's been sent to the committee for public feedback. We then have a second reading. I don't have a date for that. And there'll be a debate that takes place, then a report, a third reading, and then our learned MPs get to vote on them and whether or not it is to pass. So, keeping them aware that you are onto this issue and are concerned about it, it's terribly important. And even if someone's clearing their email addresses, the speed and the amount of and volume of a particular topic will always be noted and recorded. So, even if you feel like your email is just going into dead space, it's will be put into a folder that will be getting very big under the heading probably Gene Technology Bill.
And the other thing too, just from a political perspective, is that this is actually something, if you sit on the right side of politics, there's actually a crossbench type situation. Both the Greens and Labor have actually expressed concerns on this. Te Pāti Māori, well, I mean, as long as there's benefit for them, that's where they'll be. But it means that there is actually some sway there. And it's a really good place, actually, if you're looking to have discussions with people that you don't share your same political beliefs with. This is actually some nice safe space that you can start opening a conversation, and you never know, with that zipper, you may actually find other things that you agree on.
And it is a big part of letting people know about it. I'm so surprised about how few people know about it, how few people even understand that we've had a situation in the last 30 years that genetically or GMOs could only be in the lab in New Zealand. So we really are going to be having a very changed environment once this gets released, and then the consequence of that is simply we don't know. We really don't know. Why would we ruin our best asset, the fact that we're, on a moat, the biggest moat, and it is our point of difference? Why trash it?
I see Claire is saying, and Claire Blakely is saying in the chat that apparently there are around 12 to 15,000 submissions at the moment, or 12 to 15,000, and she says at the moment there are 2,200 odd. They're still loading them. So thanks for that, Claire.
Thanks.
Also, Ali Cook has mentioned New Zealand First voting in favour on the first reading, as did Acton National. Well, I'm not surprised with Acton National; it's their jam. But New Zealand First, my understanding is that it was part of their coalition agreement. However, if you go and look at what they've said in the first, I think it was in the first reading, where they're talking about how it has to meet certain criteria for them to be able to support it. And I think as it stands at the moment, it probably doesn't meet that criteria. But, if we want them to stand up and amplify our voices, then we've got to make as much noise as we can on the outside and create that pressure to help them to take that pe pressure forward into Parliament.
And look, compared to this bill, compared to the Australian version, this bill is, out the gate. It is insane. What is being proposed in this bill is even worse than what I've had to deal with under the gene technology legislation here in Australia. And I'm shocked and mortified that the fact that they can even put this kind of concept into writing. And it's this blind belief that they think that it's the saviour. But again, the type of people that are making comment on this, I think are not people that necessarily have a comprehension, or are just floating a bill because they got told to.
Well, I mean, I know ACT have been in the research that Alistair and I did. They've been jonesing on this for well before COVID. This has been high priority for them. And I mean, hey, Alia, when are we going to get the t-shirt saying I'm a loony? And I want a pink one,
Oh, that would actually
please.
quite good. A loony cooker.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh dear.
Mary Looney, while you do mention that, I was actually just having a search around earlier today, and ACT Science, Innovation and Technology spokesperson, Dr. Palmer said, "I remember standing up as an opposition MP in 2019, laying out a proposal that is effectively replicated in this gene technology bill now before Parliament. Back then, I was advised to use the euphemism biotechnology instead of genetic modification to avoid a fearful knee-jerk reaction. How far we have come."
Don't get me
Spin
started,
doctor.
Katie. Anyway, for those of us who've been, I mean, as I said in the, I don't know, I know I spoke to Alistair about it. I think it was in the, we say so much and then things get cut out. I can never remember what's there and what's not. But I mean, I was in Gisborne when Corngate happened. And Gisborne was one of the epicenters of Corngate in 2000, 2002, which was when the book was released. And it was huge. Like it split the region. We had industry who were wanting to trial and use all these corns. And now what we've got all these years later, and I mean, the one fantastic interview that we did with Claire is that, they have done these GMO products, particularly ones like corn, and you now have super weeds. I mean, nature finds a way. It always finds a way. So you would have thought that you'd learn, but it's amazing the memory holding that goes on in a parliamentary process. It just never ceases to astound me.
Yeah. All right, before we move on to the next one, which is phase two, Royal Commission in, for COVID inquiry. I just wanted to say hello and welcome to George, who says that it's his first time joining one of these tonight. So welcome, George. It's
Hey,
nice to
George.
have somebody new on the call in the mix with the hundreds of others tonight. So Katie, I think we're still going with you on the phase two of the Royal Commission. We've got until the end of April, the 27th of April, to have your say, and we've been in touch with the commissioner's team, and there's a little bit of an update in that space. So could you enlighten us on that one?
Yes, absolutely. So we thought it might be useful to catch up with the commissioner's team. Last time we met with phase one, we met at the tail end of phase one, not as an afterthought, but more so. It was a bit interesting how that came about. I think we were approached, and then we were umming and ahhing, and then we thought, yes, we must actually. This is our chance to be heard. We've been complaining about not being heard for 4 years, so we should pre really put our money where our mouth is, so to speak. And that was incredible. Our 3 hours that we had allocated for phase one meeting just simply wasn't long enough. And we were asked back a second time for another full 3 hour session. And whew, it was a roller coaster. And we've repeated regularly the importance of attending and appearing, and some of the results that we had from that, which I think we can say was a positive light. Thinking differently about phase two, and having been so active in phase two and getting phase two brought into being, both with lobbying and also with the people's terms that so many of you signed up to, we thought it might be useful to catch up with the commissioner's team in advance and give them some ideas about what we were thinking, and if we could have an opportunity to meet with them earlier rather than later, and to ensure that they were getting the types of information that they would, we think that they should need, not just the types of information that someone in a back room might be going and collecting and thinking that they might need. So they were very open to that, and we've been working closely with Guy Hatchard, Linda Wharton, in NZDSOS to produce, I guess, a submission which would cover all of the topics and the key material and information that pertain to each of those topics. That does not cross out our own submission, which we will certainly do, but just making sure that nothing's missed, and that the commissioners are made aware of issues that we see that they need to be aware of. So that's been occurring in earnest this last couple of weeks, and the commissioners were very open to hearing our proposal and what. Quite prepared to allow us to move ahead on that. So we will be submitting a extensive proposal on various sub issues that we fall that fall within the three categories. And just touching on that, there are three categories that they're covering off. Vaccines is one of them, and that includes mandates and approvals of the vaccines and the safety of them. The second subject matter is lockdowns, particularly the lockdown of late 2021. But I would say that extends to all lockdowns, including being locked out of the country. There is so much more to be said about lockdowns and the fact that we were locked down for nearly 2 years. And let's not forget, too, the commission, phase one commission said that, look, perhaps the lockdowns were probably a bit long. So that's. We've already got that kind of indication. The last one, which I think is interesting as well and is important, is the testing and the tracing, including RAT tests and COVID-19 tracer app and other health measures like masks. So I've got three subjects, and those are ones that, there is a vast array of topics that fall under all of them. And if you submitted under the phase one Royal Commission. I encourage you all to submit under phase two again. I know you may be feeling like you're repeating yourselves, but it is so important to resubmit under phase two because we can't assume that what you submitted in phase one will be allowed to be accessed for phase two because remember they put that confidentiality order on them.
And Katie, you've specifically spoken to them about this because we have had people who have been messaging us to ask, shall I do it? Will it be thrown out because I've already put it in once in the first one? No, it won't be. They really don't know how to properly access the last stuff with all, like Katie's saying, with all the privacy stuff that's in the mix. So you can copy what you did last time and add some more to it that is within the scope of this one because the last one they could only consider things within the very sort of narrow terms of reference.
So I encourage everyone to make a submission. We're actually putting together a bit of a tool at the moment to help, you know, that writer's block that you can kind of feel and have when you're sitting there staring at the screen and you've got these vast array of topics that were, you know, so emotionally, well, so filled with emotion that you simply can't really fathom where to start. So we've put together a little bit of a tool based on some feedback Claire and Alia and I received after I was talking the other day about give yourself some headings and start writing under the headings, and you'd be so surprised how incredibly cathartic it is, but also how much really rushes back to you. And the other thing is you don't need to write an opus. Just take the time to, you know, put down your key bits of information. You know, if you couldn't get back into the country, or if you were one of these people that were a permanent resident only, and then you had this additional mandate put on you for longer because, you know, you only need to say that in three or four lines, and it's still pretty horrendous as to what happened. So, look, we hopefully have that tool up and ready soon to assist with your submission to phase two. But I just encourage everyone just to take the time. We've got a bit of time, we've got a couple of months. But let's not, you know, let's not be scared off. This is a really important chance for our voices to be heard, and we have been saying for a long time that that's all we wanted.
Mary is asking in the comments, do we know how she can access her submission or feedback story for phase one? I'm not sure. I wonder if usually you put in your email and it sends you a copy of that sort of thing. So have a look through back through your emails and see if you were sent a you know clarification of what you'd put through. Otherwise, what we really highly suggest that people create their story in a document of some kind, not directly into the website itself, because that can always go awry and you can lose your content. You know, there's a glitch in the matrix, and all that hard work can be lost. Whereas if you just copy and paste it over, and there is also the opportunity in this phase to not just do it as a written thing. So you can put through a voice message, audio message, a video message. There's other ways that you can do it this time, which I think could be really helpful for some people. If you feel it's easier for you to just speak your story, then do that.
There is a 25 megabyte limit, but if you can't get it through in the form style that they've got, you can contact them. And I've just dropped that email address into the chat there, inquiry into COVID-19lessons@dia.govt.nz. They did indicate they're getting a lot of emails and they're working through them. You know, don't expect a response immediately, but you know, you'll get an acknowledgement and there's certainly a team there that are working on it.
I don't think the team's huge, though, is it, Katie?
I think there were 75 staff for
Oh,
phase.
wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think that certainly there was, and I wouldn't imagine that they would have got much smaller for phase two. I don't want to make a liar out of myself, but I definitely know it was closer to 100 than. Wouldn't it be
Well,
nice to be paid to do the talk about all of this, girls?
we're going to keep them busy, I think.
Yeah, and I remember if you didn't catch up the 360 on fluoride, I spoke right at the very end to Simon O'Connor, and one of the things he covered was actually putting a submission in because he sat on the fluoride select committee, and he actually had some really, really good advice on that, getting as much of the key points over in the first page that you can, because I've seen several of you saying you're at 4 and 5 pages long. He said, by all means, submit something longer if you wish, but if you get your key points points over. And I think what Katie suggested before, in terms of actually having headings, you may actually want to get your key points under headings with a punchy paragraph in each, and then expand on each of those within your document. So then if they're scanning, they're getting the most important stuff first. So I think that that is a really good tip. I know that that's something that I'm working on at the moment. And if any of you have seen the interview with my husband, you can imagine the sort of submission that we will be having for phase two. It will be significant.
And stories, you know, makes it, it people's stories. It's so important, you guys, to share them, because it, those these are the things that change, touch people's hearts, and change the outcome. Claire has just reminded me too that if you are happy to do so, to forward your any story or feedback that you share with the commission onto us, and we can publish it publicly on our page that we have on the website, where we're gathering these hundreds of stories, so that other people can see them and it's not going into a memory hole. So if that's what you'd like to do, you can forward it through to inbox@realitycheck.radio.
And please, if you think that your story might not be as, you know, big, or, you know, your if the effect on you wasn't, well, I think someone used the word inconsequential the last time that we write. No one's story is inconsequential to what we all had to go through over the last 5 years. So, you know, please just take the time, and, you know, once you start committing it to paper, and that executive summary that Marie was talking about, I always write that at the end so I can kind of just do my, get it out of my system, and then come back and then really give the hard-hitting points on my introduction at the beginning, but written at the end.
Yes, someone's just asking, if we send you our story and there's something personal, can you edit it out, or is it our job? I think it would probably be safer for you to edit it before you send it through, just in case somebody accidentally missed it, or, you know, you wouldn't, I wouldn't want that to happen and for it to go out public if you really didn't want part of it to be in there. So just send us through an email or a document that has attached, that has that as you want it to appear.
And Ali's just said that she's getting her kids to write one from their perspective too, and that's so important. It's all well and good, you know, these age groups that, you know, are probably sitting on here tonight, but to get your kids to make and write a similar story, because remember, everyone that was 12 and over had to have a vaccine pass to be able to function and to be able to go to sports and everything. That was huge pressure. And, you know, talk about the advertising and the bombardment of atrocious rap songs that everybody had to, you know, suffer through.
Oh, yeah, and the ostracism at school and the bullying and all of that sort of stuff. That, I mean, I know that we saw that with our kids. So, yeah, that's it. Ali, that's a great idea. Actually, I'm going to talk to both my sons about getting submission, and I hadn't considered that, actually. So thank you for that comment. That's brilliant.
Yes, and get them, if they don't want to sit down and write it, you could get them to dictate it to you, or, you know, do it on the audio version. Yes, she's saying one is seriously injured and one is mandated. I know I've heard your story, Ellie. It's heartbreaking, and there's so many people out there that have been impacted in that way. It's just got to be heard. And, you know, this, I saw somebody saying on one of my social posts recently that, you know, it's all very well, but there's no, you know, this is not going to be, consequences aren't going to come from this particular inquiry. But I think what you have to bear in mind is that if, as much as we can get these guys to do this out in the open and make it transparent, then it's up to us to share it and make sure as many people as possible can hear these, the interviews that they do, the stories that are flushed out, so that the general public becomes aware of things that I think a lot of people are not aware of. And with that awareness comes caring, you know, like they start to realize that that was not good, and then the pressure grows from that. So while the inquiry in itself might not bring the results that a lot of us want to see, it's a process that we can go through to drive it further down the track. So I think it's really, really important from that perspective to engage as much as we can and to share.
Indeed. Libby was just asking about the crazy stuff going on at the beaches. The one person that I know who is all over that, Libby, like all over it, is Muriel Newman from the NZCPR. So if you want to have a look at anything that's been done. This is her absolute mission. I know that Paul has been doing interviews with her, and we will be continuing to stay in touch with her on that. But she is certainly the one that is the expert in that area.
Great. Well, I'm getting the hustle along. We've got to keep moving, girls.
I think I'm going to love you and leave you.
Thank you very much, Katie.
Bye, Katie. Bye.
Awesome. See you. All righty. I think the next one that we had is fluoride.
Yes.
And those of you that watched 360 the other day, can I just say a massive round of applause, Marie and Alistair.
Oh,
This
thank you, Megan.
RCR 360 is just such quality, a quality show, brilliant resource for everybody out there to share with people in their circles, friends and family who might be new to some of this stuff. You can either share the whole show, but you can also share the clips of the interviews and things like that that are within the full show. If you think somebody's more inclined to listen or watch something that is shorter in length. So there are those fantastic options. And I've got a little bit teed up that I've asked the team to clip as a short shareable because I think it's just so powerful. I'll share that with you in a minute, but we'll just give a little bit of a fluoride update. Michael Connett, the attorney from the US, has just finished his tour all around the North Island with Marianne Kane from Fluoride Free, and I went along to one of the ones in Auckland. It was an amazing talk. I actually spoke with him after it and invited him to come on a webinar and give that presentation on a webinar format. So we need to chase him up to do that because it was such a brilliant a presentation. It's really worth as many people seeing it as possible. And we've got the dark side of fluoride. That was RCR 360, so you can go back and check that out last week with Marie and Alistair. And then Alistair's Fluoride on the Brain, which was the documentary that we put out last year, still very much relevant now. It's kind of entry level stuff, going over what the main issues are with this and the messaging and speaking with different experts about the reality of fluoride and including its risks and toxicity. Last week, New Zealand First accepted Fluoride Free's petition to halt water fluoridation, and they have proposed a members' bill to repeal the 2021 Health Amendment Act, which is aiming to return decision making on fluoridation to local councils. Fluoride Free, we've been in touch today. They say that they support repealing the amendment, but they have reservations about a referendum due to media fairness issues. And we kind of agree on this stuff when it comes to referendums with a public that is largely uneducated on a topic or misled, then you can have an outcome that is not ideal because of that. And so I think, while it's a good step in the right direction, it's raising awareness that there's a problem with that, the act. We have to keep pushing for it to go further. So we're going to be watching to see if the bill is selected from the ballot box and if National and ACT support it and what the new Director General of Health does, because of course Diana Safati has left the building. There's key appointments and resignations I've got here. RFK Jr. is now the head of HHS. Yay! Hinting at potential changes in US fluoridation policies. And as I said before, Safati has left, resigned as DG of Health, which is great, but let's see who comes in next. Local council actions. Whangarei District Council, go them. Voted against starting fluoridation and is pursuing an interim injunction. The leadership from councillors such as Gavin Bennie, Mayor Cocirillo, who says he is prepared to go to jail over this. I mean, that is what we need in this space, is people who are, really going to dig in and not roll over on this one. So well done for that, Mayor. Deputy Mayor Phil Hulse and others were strongly commended. Future hopes include the removal of fines and jail threats by a new Director General, a comprehensive review of the evidence, and a decisive move to stop fluoridation immediately. We had somebody on from Rotorua Council last week, I think it was, maybe the week before.
Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, that was a really good one. And they held a fluoridation workshop with invited Ministry of Health representatives, and there was a unanimous decision to write to the Ministry of Health to cancel the directive and call for a public inquiry. So it is, things are rolling along in this space, and I think it's just more important than ever for us all to just keep speaking out. Like, don't just think that because it's getting a lot of attention, we can just, sit back now and wait for it to unfold. No, I think we need to keep pushing it all the way to the edge of the cliff, is what I think, and off the other side. So next steps. Continued advocacy is needed, so lobby your local councils for an independent public inquiry. That's what Fluoride Free is advocating for. Attend your local council meetings, and you can organise petitions to keep the pressure on. And we understand that if you get 20 or more signatures, you can force an agenda inclusion in the next council meeting. So if you want that to be brought up as something that is discussed. Positive signals are in the USA, but change in New Zealand is going to require persistent pressure. So, and the note is here, it took 26 years to stop adding lead to paint and petrol. So let's hope it's a lot faster than that this time. Maybe I'll just see if I can share this clip with you, because I think it's an important one to watch out for. Michael Connett has included in his speech, in his little presentation that he did, was the fact that he, as part of the process of going through the court case against the EPA in the US, he got the opportunity to depose a bunch of leading experts in the fields of the different regulatory agencies. So I'll just share my screen on this one.
His case against the United States Environmental Protection Agency, and what he had to say was alarming.
What is the dose of fluoride that is safe for the brain? You have probably heard that there's thousands of studies that prove that water fluoridation is completely safe.
Does the NSF have a position on what the upper tolerable daily dose of fluoride that will not cause neurotoxic effects is?
Since we have not conducted risk assessments on any of the fluoridation chemicals, we do not have a position on the daily dose that would be appropriate to prevent or to reduce the risk for neurotoxic effects from fluoride exposure.
As you sit here today, you're not aware of a study that would establish the safety of prenatal fluoride exposure for the brain.
Well, I'm not aware of a study that right now says this dose is safe.
You would agree that this study right here adds further reason why we need to do a reassessment of the fluoride safety standards in the United States.
I think it's a reason for doing not just the United States, I think it's a reason for doing an update to the fluoride assessment.
Everywhere.
Well, for anybody who's interested in fluoride and the need for regulation of fluoride exposure.
So that, in my eyes, is pretty compelling. You know, if you've got a relative or a friend who is really sticking with this, oh, that it's safe, and you just have to show this. The head of these, the EPA, they don't have the science. They can't point to any studies that say that this is safe. In fact, when they are shown the studies that show that it's problematic, you hear what she says there. It needs to be reviewed for anybody that's doing it. So we'll let you know when that clip, keep an eye out for the clip coming out, and share it as far and wide as you can once it's out there. Because I think it's a good, if people can watch that, then they might be more inclined to click through and watch the whole thing.
Yeah, it's so powerful, but the things are starting to move. And especially too when Michael Connett said, as he said, topical applications have actually shown some benefit. They've also got other studies, fluoride in the brain as well. I really, if you haven't watched that, do watch it, because they talked about the Scottish study that was there using, distributing to schools teeth brushing and oral hygiene from a topical application and actually the improvements that they have. Because the one thing they keep going back to all the time, but we do it to protect our most vulnerable populations. I mean, we've heard that we do it to protect our most vulnerable. Well, this is the thing. I mean, if these studies are correct, and with what Michael is saying, we're actually harming our most vulnerable by putting it in the water supply. So it's actually having a contradictory effect. So yeah, if you have the time and you've got people that have got questions here, put them in the direction of both those resources. And I think that that will help a whole heap. Speaking of which, both of those are actually on the website. And as we alluded to at the beginning of the webinar, there have been a whole heap of upgrades and changes. Well, not really changes. They've been just improvements, haven't they, Alia, since you and I caught up last week?
Yes, our IT team have not stopped. They are just going, fixing bugs and making improvements. And we say, hey, can we do this? This is really cool, but we want it to do this. And so they get busy doing all of that. Let us know, if there's something that you really would like to see that's not there at the moment, just email in and let us know and we can forward that on, especially if enough people say that that's what they're looking for. So let me just share again that screen. So what you can see at the top there is you can go through and watch episode 3 of 360, Dark Side of Fluoride. When you're watching now or listening to an episode or an interview, we now have a progress bar. So you can see where you're up to. If you go away and you come back later, it will pick up from where you were listening before. So hallelujah for that, because that can be annoying. And so the team have found a workaround for that, so that's great. In terms of downloads, you can now download for audio listening, and you find your downloads in your library. So you click on your library and you'll have anything that you've downloaded down the bottom here.
And I know downloads was one of the big things that you guys were asking for in the comments last week, and it was so great to have that all fixed. And particularly if you're going on long car journeys and you don't have particularly good coverage cell service, or you're not wanting to use your data, the downloads is an absolute godsend.
Definitely. And now, so we've what we call these little doodackies here, these slider galleries that click along. We call them channels, so just so that we're getting the right lingo. So you've got the Daily Brief channel, and if you haven't listened to the Daily Brief, give it a whirl, because this is something that we're designing for you guys to share with your friends to get them off their mainstream news habit and into something that is a little bit more balanced and entering into the areas of topics that people need to hear. So it's designed to sound kind of like a mainstream broadcast, so the same sort of things that you'll hear with the news, with a professional newsreader, and then analysis, and then a rundown of what you can expect to see on the RCR website app and any campaigns that we have going. So the different channels, now you can listen to, not only on the latest channel will it autoplay from one, or continuous play from one interview to the next, if you're on audio, and I think too video, Claire was saying before, but it will do that on all of these carousels now, these channels. So you can, if you click into one of these in the editor's picks, then it will play the next one on the editor's pick, so long as it isn't one that you've heard before, because it knows that and it will skip over it to the next one. So that's pretty cool. Another thing that is there is the auto update. So when new changes are being implemented, you don't need to reinstall the app or anything. It will just automatically update. And then I've got the last one here, which is the Help Center. So users can watch a support tutorial and send feedback or report an issue from there, and there's more support tutorials to come. So that is something that we're working on. And remember that you can go to your little profile icon here to find your settings and things in your own personal account.
And the other thing I discovered too, I had some people say, oh, it would be really nice to actually watch the 360 episodes up on the big TV.
Yes.
I know, we've got an Apple TV and I've got an iPhone. So there is the share button where you can actually Apple Play. Does it do it for Chromecast as well, Alia?
I would assume so, but I haven't actually tried, and we got rid of our TV, so all
Yeah, so if anyone has tried that, done it with Chromecast, I definitely know if you've got Apple. Oh, yes, it does have it for Chromecast. Carol, you're a saint. Thank you for letting us know that. Yeah, and it's so simple to do, and you can pop it up on the telly and be all retro. So it's good.
The only
Oh,
thing that's
can you show
happening
us
to
how to
me.
download, please? It's Fiona. Yes,
Oh,
it's
sure.
the little box with the downy little arrow.
Room
Technically, said they say channels. I just call it the slippy slidey thing and the little downy arrow.
to go. So, that didn't work. That's a bit of a dud, isn't it? I haven't. Let's see. I know it will work on these ones because definitely I just don't want it to autoplay.
There it is.
Little
There you go.
cloud with the
Little
down
cloud with the
arrow.
downy arrow.
The down arrow there, you click on that and that will take it away, download it and put it in my library so you can go and find it later if you're offline and you want to listen without using up all your bandwidth or your
Yeah.
data.
There you go. Do keep that feedback coming. It's been great, and it's been so good that we've had that feedback, and thank you for everyone too, in behind the scenes that have been making this happen. Because this app, I have to admit, I was saying to Alia and the girls before we got started, I'm actually engaging with our content so much more now. I'm finding the app vastly more user friendly. Out on the dog walk this weekend, I have to say, if you guys have not listened to the interview with Rob McCulloch that Paul did last week, oh my gosh,
Let me
I
find it for you so I can share.
blew my absolute mind. The channels, Jackie, are the slidey slidey things. So when you're on the app or on the website, and anything that slides, that's a channel.
Yep.
The
Now,
slidey slidey thing.
where is he?
It
Oh,
was,
here.
yeah.
This
Oh
one.
my
Zealand's
gosh.
investor visa scam exposed. So click on that one. And boy, oh boy, be
You back?
prepared because it is just wall to wall.
Truth bombs.
Truth bombs,
Yeah.
and he does not hold back.
And actually, the title is a little bit misleading because he starts off talking about the visa thing. Where he goes to is just he eviscerates Christopher Luxon, but also to the whole incestuousness of the swamp of Wellington and who they select for committees and the laziness that is there. And oh, I was just honestly, it was like, whoa, it was
Yeah.
so much. It was an amazing interview, absolutely
I couldn't believe
top
it when I
notch,
read
Paul,
into it. I've
top
actually
notch.
listened
Yeah.
to it twice. You can share it by this little button here too. So you can just click on that copy button and then you can post that link. Now, I know that there is an issue with all the new content that should be fine, but the older stuff before we switched over to the app, the team is working on sometimes if you post a link to some of those older interviews, it's giving an error. So they're aware of that and they're working to fix it. So look at that. 8:59. Bang on an hour.
Go us.
Fantastic. All right. It's so nice to see you guys all typing up in the chat here tonight. I've managed to catch some of the comments, but I couldn't read them all because they're all going past so quickly, but it's been lovely to have you all in here. And what have you got this week, Marie, that we can
Oh,
talk to?
really, really busy week this week. I've got yes, I'm talking to Rodney and Penny Marie tomorrow morning, quite early, and hopefully we'll get that up within the next. It may even go up earlier than my normal Wednesday. And I've got a few other bits and bobs planned, but then Alistair and I are going to be recording 360. We've done both the interviews for that, which is on trust in the media. It's going to be an
It's going to
absolute
be good.
banger this
Yeah.
week. Just based on the interviews, that's going to be an absolute banger. I spoke
Can you give
to
us a little?
a little Susan. Well, I spoke to Judge David Harvey, and just from his perspective and from a standpoint of somebody that watches the media, and it is also to somebody who is of an age that has usually always engaged with legacy media and still does engage with legacy media, and actually seeing it from the breadth and depth that he sees it. And he's so eloquent. He was absolutely fantastic. And I don't know his first name, Lowenthal, that
yes,
Andrew Lowenthal, that Alistair spoke to. He was working with Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger with the Twitter files. So, so looking at it from an international perspective. So that one is going to be huge. The following week is going to be gender. So, yeah, we're working on all of these different shows at the same time. So really looking forward to this week, though.
I think it's going to be a brilliant one. So
Roll
on Thursday, 8 o'clock.
Right. Well, thank you, everybody, so much. I really appreciate all your comments and well wishes. We do appreciate it. And remember, if you've got anything you want to share with us on anything that you've heard, we do love getting it. It makes us feel good, helps butter up our very delicate egos and lets us know that we're doing a good job. 2057 is the text number, and inbox at realitycheck.radio is the email. Thank you very much.
Yes, and I think that's important, actually, because with the change, people have probably got a little bit out of the habit of that. I haven't been in the inbox lately, but just remember that if you've heard something that you like, and the hosts, everybody gives so much to this endeavor that it is really lovely. They do, everyone does really enjoy getting feedback. So please let them know what you're thinking about things, good, bad, or otherwise.
Yeah, Marty and I are doing a big mega feedback mailbag in Media Matters. So we will cover Media Matters, anything that comes up with my shows and For the State, all in that one place. So we do sort of a big mega mailbag, as it were, if you're looking for that.
Fantastic. Thank Rodney has a webinar coming up with Wally the Gardener. So if gardening is your jam, keep an eye out for that one. And that will be another interactive thing, probably on a Sunday night like this too. So stay tuned.
Yes, and Jackie just said, and Marty likes compliments. Marty loves compliments, Jackie.
What was the last one that he was called?
Someone called him Spunk. They didn't realise what a hunk of spunk he was. And I'm still getting mileage out of that. So if you're in here and you're the person that said that through, I love you. That was fabulous.
Oh, fabulous. Lovely. Okay, everybody. It was really nice to see you all here tonight. Thank you for joining us. And to Katie too, who's popped off. And we'll see you next time. Have a great week.
See you then. Take care, guys.
Good night.